But I'd like to go into the Word this morning. Let's go to the book of Matthew together, to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. The key principle that I want to share with us this morning in regards to our financial theme that we've been speaking of, the grace impartation released through finances, released through economic blessings. Continuing with that theme, we'd like to explore further thoughts. And one of the thoughts that I really feel is so important and pivotal for us as a house is how to receive. We need to position and posture ourselves in a reception mode. That is a predominant thought that I would like to share with us this morning, which God had laid on my heart. How do you receive is so important. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, there is blessing in receiving. It's just that the emphasis is more in the giving. So we understand that giving is important, and we've been learning much principles regarding that. But there is a key factor that is important for you and I is how to receive. If I have to give you 1,000 rand, for example, and you would first, your first inclination is, you know, not really, it's okay, you know, I we're always reserved in our reception. Your reservation in your reception is the one that hinders you. So, for example, we've been endowed and released with much grace from this pulpit. Much release has come from here. But how have we received it? If the commensurate giving is not in cohesion or in correlation with the receiving, it means that we're missing something somewhere along the line. In other words, if I say you are blessed and you receive the word of blessing, but yet you go out and you're not blessed, it simply means that there is a breakage of something in the link. Why is it that some are more blessed than others? How do we gauge blessing? We gauge blessing by the reception. Not so. So materially, if we have to say, how is one more blessed than the other, is by material gain. So we will look at the gain of the material where one has much and other has little, and then we deduce that, well, that person is more blessed than the other. But the key factor is, how do we receive? And this is where we're going to look at this morning, because we need to posture ourselves and position ourselves. Two key words that I want you to keep in the fore of your spirit, because position speaks of proximity. Position speaks of locality. It speaks of placement. Your position speaks of placement. But your posture speaks of your standing and your heart. Your standing and your heart. So when we say you want to posture, or we want to position ourselves and posture ourselves to receive, what we're literally saying is we need to be in close proximity so that our hearts can receive all that God has for us. All that God has for us. You know, a prophetic word was released this morning. You will receive. You will receive. I caught that in my spirit. And I'm saying, God, help me to mend my garment so that I don't put a patch that is going to floor the whole garment. Help me, Father, my container needs to be one that is solid, that is fixed, that there's no leakage and seepage, there's no cracks, there's no breakage, so that I can contain all this new wine that you're releasing. You know, it's important that Randolph always reiterates that we should always rehearse the messages. And I found out why he always says that after I kept listening over and over and over. It's because I realized I can now receive better. The first hearing is important, but continual hearing is of greater importance. So I would like to go to Matthew 25. Let's go from verse 14. We'll read from verse 14. A very familiar parable that Jesus spoke of. And it reads like this: for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to the other 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained more also. But he who received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into my joy of the Lord, of your Lord. And also, who received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into my joy, into the joy of the Lord. Then the one who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from the one whom he does not have, even what he has will be taken away and cast into the unprofitable. And he cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. This is one of the most thought through and preached portions of scripture that I'm sure you've come across yourself personally and you've heard much. But I want to take it from the vantage point from how we receive determines the blessing or the commensurate grace that you will attain. How you receive. So here, a simple illustration, and I'll paraphrase it very quickly as we've just read, and then we'll look at some principles that we can extrapolate from that. The principle is simple. The story is very simple. A man leaves some money, some talents with his servants, 3 in question, 1 with 5, 2 and 1, and the 2 go and make profit with it, and the 1 goes and hides the other. And when the master comes back, he calls into account that which they have done with what he released to them. And we see the responses. In the season that we're in right now, much talent has been given. So, this parable extends beyond just financial investment. I want us to understand that. Because when you look at the word talent in the Hebrew, it speaks more than just that of financial gain. Now, a talent, when you understand it, when you look up the word talent, in the English, it's very simple. It speaks of skill or ability. Got nothing to do with finances in the English understanding. Now, we can't take that English understanding, that English rendering for what it is now, because it was written in time past. So we understand it in the Hebrew, and a talent was simply something that was of weight. It had substance. It had some sort of heaviness to it. So the talents that this Lord or this master gave wasn't just only a skill and the ability. It wasn't only money or finances, but it was also a grace of weightiness, something that was not quantified by material goods, but yet carried a kabod, a glory. The word that the Old Testament for heaviness, for weightiness, is the word kabod, which means the glory of God. The Greek rendering is one of doxa, which speaks of the glory of God. Gloria is the Italian word. simply meaning that which the master was giving was not just what we think it was. Now understand this here. The scripture is very symbolic. It starts off from verse, if you can put the scripture back on the board, please. It starts off like this. In fact, if you read from verse 1, it says, and the king, it's speaking about the kingdom. It's speaking about the kingdom. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. So whenever we see that rendering or that statement, it simply means that there's a symbolicness to it. So we can take it literally, but also we can take it very symbolically. There is a comparison of what God is trying to express about his kingdom. At the same token, what he's trying to express is to highlight what he's really wanting to mean. Now, in this instance, when we're talking on finances, it's not just about the money. So when the prodigal son came to his dad and he said, Dad, give me my inheritance or my wealth, my substance, my ousia is the Greek word. Give me my substance that is owed to me. You know, when you read that portion of scripture in Luke chapter 15, this young man relates to himself three times. He says, give me my inheritance that is owed to me. Understand this. When we read that story, you know, it's amazing how we just rush through it. Do you not think that there could have been discussion between the father and the son to say, no, son, why do you want to take the money? It's not that I don't want to give you. It's in the father's nature always to give you substance. Your inheritance is always, it's always in the father's nature to do that. That's what he does. There must have been dialogue and discussion between the father and the son regarding, and I'm sure the mother was involved somewhere along the line. There must have been discussion somewhere about what are we giving this son? The son only saw it as his monetary gain. His fleshly desires will be fulfilled simply because I will have the means. But understand this, if he knew what he was asking for, he would have not left his father. Because his father was not just giving him only inheritance of money. He was giving him a weightiness. He was giving him a grace. He was giving him a kabod. He was giving him something that goes beyond any monetary value. And this is the principle. Every word that is released from here is more than just what we hear. How you position yourself to hear it will determine how you will understand it and how you will fulfill and be prosperous in that word. So, the heaviness that is spoken of, this imagery of being released, this weight that the talents were given. And a talent, when you understand it in its weight category, it says one talent is almost about 50 pounds, which is about 22 to 25 kgs. Now, I don't think you can carry 25 kgs in your pocket if it be gold. Or if it be whatever mineral, because it's too heavy. Now, this one had five. Imagine if, 20 kgs we probably could carry. But imagine five talents. If one kg, if one talent is 20 kgs, how many kgs would five talents be? So imagine carrying 100 kgs in your pocket. Do you think that's possible? So what is the principle behind this? It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality of what the servant has received from the master. So, the gifts that were given depict two things. First, it depicts the skill and the ability, the talents, that's what we're talking about, the representation. But also, it represents the grace and the weightiness of who God is. We understand that. Please keep that in mind, because every time a word is released to you, every time a word is released to you, you might miss it. Because many people are saying, why is it that others are blessed and I'm not blessed? We've been preaching, we've been hearing the same word, sitting under the same message. But why is it that you have got greater blessing than I have? Why is it that you're stepping into things that I am not stepping into? Why is Sean always favored? Why is Renee always favored? When is my blessing or my breakthrough coming? If we only view it from a material perspective, you will wait a long time. Yes, please also do not be confused. I'm not saying that God can't bless you materially. Yes, he can. There's an outward expression of accurate representation and receiving, which will be material wealth. But if we stay on just material gain, that I'm, because I'm traveling and you're not traveling, so Sean must be more blessed than I am, and we just reduce blessings to material goods, we will miss the grace. We will miss and not receive the things that God has for us. So what mode are you in? Are you in on our cell phones? Are you in flight mode? Are you on silent mode in regards to receiving the word of God? You know, when you put your phone on flight mode, it cuts off your data. It means there's no connectivity. When you put it on silent, it means the phone is fully operational, but yet you can't hear it. What mode are you in? Is your wineskin strong enough to receive the things of God? Now, who's blessed here? Come on, let's be confident. Who's blessed? Now, those just say, who's blessed? Just raise your hand again. If I have to ask the question, and I have to just generally go around, can you just name me your blessing? You know, probably 80 to 90% of the things that you would mention would probably be material goods. Not so. That is part of the blessing. We'll probably say, are you blessed? Yes, I am. I got a new car. Are you blessed? Yes, I am. I got a new job. I got a promotion. Or somebody just dropped a 10,000 in my letterbox. Oh, we'd all love those letters. You blessed with your wife. Aye, Marshall, I tell you. But you know what? She is material. She is physical. How many of you are really blessed in understanding the love of God? The grace of God. To understand that, you've got to learn how to receive it. You've got to learn how to receive it. So let's look at this scripture together. And the Bible says, we're going to look at it exegetically. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Traveling to a far country. Now, this simply means that a word will come to you. A word will come to you through whatever medium that God, or methodology that God would release to you. And when that word, when the person who has released the word has left, what does that word do for you? I stood last night, I was in serious contemplation and a lot of repentance, Brother Quinton, a lot of repentance, because I started recollecting, how many schools have I been to? How many apostolic meetings have I put myself into? How many ALSs, POAs, and so forth and so forth? And I had no more fingers left. I used my toes, I maxed my toes out. And then the question came to me and said, how many of those do I really remember? How many of them? I can't even remember the speaker. For the past 5 years, I've been going to the schools. Ask me who the speakers, what the speakers were speaking of. Unless you refer back to the notes, unless you open up the files, then you can make recollection. But we miss so much that has been given to us. And this morning, I want to say this prophetically. I don't want you to miss anymore. No longer are we going to miss. You're going to receive all that God has for you, so that the word will become flesh in you and fulfill what it was intended and its purpose is for you. So, a far country is simply this, where someone goes away, but what does the word do for you when that person is away? You know, the question is, when there's certain people that are close to you and they're removed from you, do you still continue to do the things you used to do? So, for example, because I love God and I serve God, and I've got two sons, Joash and Jaden, for example, that are constantly hearing the word, that are constantly in this atmosphere of principles are being applied. If I step out of that and I go away to a far country, which I do at times, will they still remain with the words that they've received? This is the question. Because we're speaking about receiving a word that's not only just going to work just in the emotion and in the atmosphere and the grace of this meeting, but the word needs to work from after I've spoken. The word still needs to be taken. The word still needs to be applied, and it still needs to be alive in you. So, the next verse says this. And to the one he gave 5 talents, and to the other 2, and to the other 1. Here is a distribution process. I want you to understand and see this. God allocates certain things to certain people, not because he favors or because he is partial. Simply it's because of the capacity in your reception. So, for example, if I have to ask you at the end of the service, what was the message about? And I do a survey of certain people, I would probably get a vary and a plethora, a mixture of what things were said. Some would say, oh, it was powerful. Oh, you spoke well. What did I speak of? Others would speak of, no, you spoke from Matthew chapter 25, from verse 14, all the way right down to verse 30. And you spoke, others would say, hey, yeah, you know, it's a very piercing word. Very convicting, very challenging, very inspiring. But that's not enough. The reason why is because for some of us, we've only got the capacity to absorb this, a 5 talent. Some only have got the capacity to receive 1 talent. In other words, you've got only talent is heaviness, is weight, you can only bear a certain amount of things that the scriptures are saying to you. Paul the apostle would say, it says, there is much more that I'd like to say to you, but right now, you can't bear them. Why? You just don't have the capacity. Each one of us is given a certain measure. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible tells us, the B part, it says, to each one, God has given us a measure of faith, a certain measure of faith. Ephesians 3, verse 20 tells us, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think, imagine. The B part is the key part of that scripture. According to the power that is working in you or invested in you. So watch this now. Paul speaks in Romans and he tells us there is a certain allotment and a measure of faith. And then he tells us in Ephesians, to the Ephesian church, that there's a certain allotment of investment. In other words, God can work beyond and above, but he is governed by what governs God is your reception. So I can believe I can go to the moon, and I can sing the R. Kelly song, I Believe I Can Fly. And for you, I'll say, can you go to the moon? And you're saying, hey, I can't even walk to town. Never mind, go to the moon. What's the difference? It is your capacity. Your capacity. Remember the woman with the jars? I think it was the Shunammite woman. The Bible says that the prophet came in and he said, what do you have in your house? That great miracle of the oil flowing was determined upon the capacity of the woman. Now, this is what's the beauty part of this portion of scripture, where there's a distribution of grace, is simply this. When you receive and posture yourself in a position to receive the things of God, God increases in your capacity. He increases in your capacity. So when you think, well, okay, let me just avail myself, and we say, God, my attention span is only 10 minutes. So you sit in an environment that you know we're going to be speaking for almost 45 minutes. And you're saying, what am I going to do for the rest of the other time? What God does is, because you have put yourself in proximity to his word, he opens your capacity. So the woman with the oil, her little capacity was over and above her personal capacity. The next verse says this. Oh, before we get there, it says, just go back, it says, and immediately he left. You know, this is such a profound portion of scripture, because, you know, we're going to say amen in a short while. You know that? We're going to say amen. We're going to pray, say an amen, and confer blessing over you. pray over you. We're going to say amen. We're going to chat in the car park a little bit, in the wall, and then we're going to go home. Not so. And you know what? Immediately. The word immediately means sudden. It means quickly. Now, it's a lovely word. The Greek word for immediately speaks of things that that God does rapidly. But at the same token, if your reception mode is not right, you will forget it quickly. It will come to pass. The scriptures will be fulfilled in your midst. Immediately. Every time Jesus came in, and the Bible says, and he laid hands on blind Bartimaeus, and immediately his eyes were open. The Bible says, and the woman of with the issue of blood for 12 years has touched the hem of his garment, and immediately the blood stopped and the flow stopped. God always does things immediately. But at the same token, if your reception is not right, why did blind Bartimaeus get his healing? When you read that, and I'm sure we're familiar with the text, when blind Bartimaeus, when he heard, obviously he couldn't see, when he heard that Jesus was in town, he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The people around him said, "Hey, keep quiet. Do you know who's in town? It's an important person." What did blind Bartimaeus do? The Bible says he shouted louder. He shouted the more. You've got to posture yourself in a place called shout so that God will hear you. You've got to be like a Zacchaeus and say, listen, even in regard to my height, I'm going to climb, I'm going to position myself, I'm going to wait in a place, I'm going to put myself where God is going to notice me. Oh, come on, church. You've got to be like a David who postured his heart so that when God is looking for a king, God didn't have to look far because he was positioned. He was in reception mode. Here's this ruddy, 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read the story from chapter 16, verse 17, we read the story of David. He's got his little sling, ruddy, the Bible says, 17 years old, red hair, probably smelling of sheep. He gets summoned, he walks into this big room. Now remember, the Bible says, when Jesse heard that Samuel the prophet is coming to anoint the next king, he told his seven sons. So what did they do? They prepared. Was David prepared? Yes, he was. He was prepared by the kavod, by the weightiness. The others materially had prepared. So Eliab, the eldest, dons on his lovely suit, like this one, power suit. And as the Bible says, he was fair to look on. He was a man of stature. He was handsome. He was regal. He had everything going for him. And what the Bible says, he parades in front of the prophet. What does David do? You see, when your reception mode is right, you don't have to make a presentation. Hello, I'm here. All you just have to do is when you are summoned, is just pitch up, sling. I can imagine he must have had a piece of grass eating on the side of his, looking around, not understanding what is going on. Everybody's dressed up and he's realizing, hey, you know, how come I didn't know about this party? Because you might understand this here. The minute he steps in, the Bible says this when you read that text. The minute he steps in, the Bible says, and Samuel said, that's him. David never went through an interrogation process. Eliab, the Bible says, after making his presentation and the prophet Samuel rejected him, do you think Eliab just remained quiet? He says, but you know, I passed my matric. I'm very educated. You know, I'm a man of war. Always wanting to. David just pitched up. Why? Because he was always in reception mode. No airs and graces. The Bible says the prophet anoints him. They probably have a meal. And what happens next? Where does David go? Does David go to the throne? Does he go into the kingdom? Is he now king of Israel? No. Takes his sling, puts that thing back in his mouth again, little pouch, and off he goes back to the sheep. The principle is this: the distribution of grace can happen immediately, but also, if you're postured inaccurately, that distribution will dissipate. It will evaporate. It will go as fast as it came, it will disappear. So it's important that we stand in a place. So immediately, he leaves. You know, this is it. And I'm encouraged whenever time we receive grace. I'm so encouraged that I can't wait to receive, to sit under the word and receive, so that immediately this word must work for me. If your mode is right, it must work immediately. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to work now. Quentin prophesied, and he said, I prophesy that this is the season to receive. This is the season to receive. Position yourself. The next verse says, and then he distributes all these talents. Now understand this here. Understand, he says, and he distributes according to ability and capacity. He distributes. In other words, so now remember, talents represent two things. Please keep this in the fore of your mind. Don't only think of the value materially. In the number, numerically, 5 is greater than 2, and 2 is greater than 1. Yes, there was a capacity of numerical distribution, but also understand that this is also a grace impartation, a level of impartation. The master, you know, Randolph can only speak at a certain level depending on how you are listening. Have we not said to our children, are you not listening? What's wrong with you? Are you not listening? Yet the ears are attended to you. It's the level of understanding. And we learned in the Sonship series that what actually propels a spiritual father is when sons come into compliancy, when sons respond the way they should. It actually enhances the father. It enhances the father. Greater wisdom will come to Randolph and to the leaders and to even to yourself. The more you release of the grace, there is not a loss when you release. There's actually a gain, even though you might be giving it out. So, the scripture says that this distribution happened. And understand this here. The Bible says, very simple, the next verse, verse 17. It says, verse 18. But he who received the one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So here we see something which is very important. The distribution of grace is this. We all listen to the word of God. It's received to us at different capacities. I hope you are a 5-talent person. I hope you are one that can understand and see grace, receive it, understand it. I hope you're not one that hears grace. You know, it speaks of three types of people. You know, you get those people that watch things happening. You get those that let things happen. And you get those that make things happen. So you get, on a typical Sunday, you get those that come to service. You get those that get involved in the service by saying an amen. Thank you, Andy. I love you. And then you get those that become spectators. Let's see what he's going to say. Let's see who's wearing what. Those shoes don't go. The hair wasn't working today. Those that watch, those that participate. And this is the principle I want you to understand. When you participate in the grace of God, you receive more than what you bargained for. When grace is dispensed, you will receive greater. The reward of the reception of the grace released is greater than what it first looked like. So when a word is released to you, at the capacity that you can receive, it will do greater for you. So you will receive this word and you will say, I apply this word into my life, and your healing will come. Your breakthrough will come simply because you received it at a certain capacity, a certain level. What level are you pitching into? So the Bible says they were given these talents. So there is a distribution process. Now understand, please, when you see 5, 2, and 1, it's not as in value quantity. Please, no, let's not look at it materialistically. Yes, numerically, 5 is greater than 2 and 2 is greater than 1. But understand, when grace is released, it's all at the same level. It's all at the same level. The problem is, there's always one. You know, there's always one. There's always one that when grace is released, they just don't receive it well. Oh, the pastor's speaking about me today. Oh, I don't like the way you said that. When something is pricking you, you don't receive it well. Oh, no, no, oh, this message is for me. You know the proverbial, when you come to church with two implements, remember with that illustration? I don't know if it was, you come to church with two implements, either with a shovel or with a rake. We know that illustration? So when the word is spoken, and we say, you sinner, repent. You liar, the one that can't forgive. You take the shovel, and you say, this word is for my neighbor. This word is for Shimon. It's for so-and-so. You quick to shovel. Say, this word, yeah, I hope my wife is listening. But if you come with a rake, how does a rake work? This word is for me. This word is for me. When we posture ourselves like that, you will see exponential, explosive grace that will multiply. It will go beyond your understanding. So understand this. The talents might have been varied numerically, but the grace is consistent. Because we continue reading, because our time is good, we continue reading, and the Bible says, so what did they do with this grace that they received? The result is determined by the reception. So the 5 takes it, he goes and he multiplies it, so does the 2, the one with the 2 talents. Now, is the 5 more than the 2? No, because both of them received 100% return. Not so. So 100% of 5 is 10. 100% of 2 is 4. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. We got that. But you know what? It's still 100%. And you know, when I thought of this here, I got so overwhelmed by the fact that I'm saying, God, you release words consistently, which is at the best of everyone is receiving what we're receiving. What percentage am I getting? What percentage am I getting? You know, John Alley, every time he ministers, he always prays this. He says, God, he says, first before we pray, you know, John Alley, you don't know when he started his message, he just talks, and then before you know it, you're saying, okay, let's close in prayer. I just want to pray for you. That's the message is done. That's John Alley. But you know, whenever he starts, he always says this, and I appreciate it. He says, I just want to pray for a spirit of understanding so that then he'll speak now for another hour. But it's important that we start off with the premise of understanding, because if we don't have the spirit of understanding from the beginning, if you only understand when now he's praying for you, we might have missed a lot. The resultant benefit of both these, the one with 5 and the one with 2, is simply this. They were blessed 100%. 100% in that which God had intended for them at their capacity, they received. So even this morning, you will receive certain things, but only at the level of understanding that you're hearing this morning. For some, find out what percentage you're at? You don't need to do it. It's easy to do that. Talk to the person after the service and talk about the message. Hey, how was the message today? Yeah, it was good, eh? It was fine. Hey, the guy had a nice suit on, eh? Then you realize 1%, one talent. When someone says that they even speak beyond, you said, you know, and you know, when he said that, something sparked inside of me. And I just thought, and something else comes, and grace starts flowing beyond what has been spoken. Then you realize that this person is 5 talents. They are in a place where God is now giving even greater. So this is the principle. This is the principle. Are you postured to receive the fullness that God has for you? Now, understand this. Understand this as well. The one that had 2 compared to the one that had 5. even though they both received 100%. But do you still not think that the one with two would desire more in comparison? Yes. This is where I want to encourage us this morning. The word, at whatever capacity and level that you're receiving the word now, this morning, God can increase. God can increase. Your level of understanding, you will read the scriptures and you will see things that you never thought you would see before. You will begin to understand things that you don't need a tutor. The Holy Spirit will speak to you directly. When the spiritual father is releasing stuff to you, your spirit will leap on the inside because you now say, I understand. Now I know what he says. You know, when I first heard the father-son wine principle of the wineskin, I only got it after about 3 years. I went to meeting after meeting after meeting, saying amens, saying, sure, powerful man, powerful, but not understanding. I was there amongst them, standing amongst the company that were receiving such grace on fathers and sons, speaking. I remember those locations, Shimon, remember those locations? 13 locations that David went through before he came to his Zion. 13 locations from Adullam all the way, Ziklag, Akil, all Akela, and away, all those places, and right till he gets Hebron, till he gets to Zion. You know, only by the time I got to Zion, I understood Adullam. You can journey with so much, receive so much, but if your understanding of reception is limited, you will be left behind. 3 years later, I'm sitting in Pietermaritzburg, and one of the speakers is speaking about sonship, and only then the lights came on. Oh, this is what they've been meaning the past 3 years. I get it now. What happened? There was a transferal of grace because my capacity to receive was increased. My proximity was persistent. I said, I'm going to go to these meetings. I'm not just going to pick up tailings of things that I'm hearing. I'm going to sit in the meeting, go to a school, sit through all the sessions, 3 sessions for 5 days. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to wake up. And I'm going to just be in the presence. I'm going to hear half of it. I'm going to miss half of it. But I'm there. When you're in that proximity, then now grace comes to you. And it might not, maybe for today, maybe you might not understand. Say, what is this man talking now? What you talking? And then when you're at your table, when you're in your marketplace, when you're reading and when you're speaking to somebody, and now you have to tell them, you know, I can see your level of understanding is just not, you're not under, oh, that's what you spoke on the message. It'll come back to you. It'll come back to you. So the Bible says, let's look at this one, which I think is important, which comes to us more of a caution, to be very introspective, because I feel that this season, too much is lost. And we just don't want to, and a prophetic word was released this morning. We want to imbibe that prophetic word. It must become a part of us. But we don't want to miss it. Don't miss the day of your visitation. Don't miss the day of your visitation. The 38-year-old conditioned man at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for the pools to be stirred, this lame, crippled man, Jesus comes, the one who stirs the waters, comes and stands before him and says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, is Jesus blind that he cannot see his condition? You know, it's amazing that Jesus always says that. Blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me. He's feeling where Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He gets to Jesus. Yes, Jesus here. Yeah. And then Jesus says, okay, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, like, hello. You know the man with the withered arm? The man with the withered arm comes before Jesus. I mean, he's got this withered arm. And he's standing and Jesus looks at him. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, like, can you not see Jesus? There's a crippled, lame man lying on the pavement. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? This is a key principle. Because, you know, for some of us, we will ask, if you imagine asking that crippled man, what? He says, I want a Ferrari. Because your capacity of reception is not to understand and perceive grace, you will ask amiss. The misunderstanding of this one a talent man is simply this. He misunderstood what the talent represented. The blind, this crippled man, when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" What was his response? The first thing he did was, like many of us, he made an excuse. I mean, what would be my response? Yes, I need healing. Please, I would like to walk again. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you? Do you want to be made well?" My response would be, "Yes, I want to be healed. I want to be made well." But what does he say? He looks at Jesus and he says, "There's no one to put me in." Yeah, we start complaining. "There's no one to put me in the water. And even if there is, there's always someone else that gets there before me." He complains. Simply why? He never understood who was standing in front of him. And you see the progression, for those that understand the story, you see the progression later when he now shows himself in the temple. He upgrades. First he says, they said, "Who healed you?" He says, "A man." "Who healed you?" Then he says, "I think he's a prophet." "Who healed you?" Then he starts calling him, I think he starts calling him Lord when Jesus now meets him again. Calls him Lord. Your perception will determine your reception. And your reception will determine your reward. Jesus said, "How you see will determine how you receive. And how you receive will be the resultant of your reward." So Jesus would say to his disciples, say to the people sitting with these disciples, he says to the people, "If you see them, you have seen me." You know, we got no problem with that because it's within our 2020 vision. It's tangible. Then Jesus said this, "And if you see me, you have seen the Heavenly Father, you have seen my Father." That's where we have a problem. That's where the people now said, no. "So you're saying you are like God?" Jesus said these words. He says, "If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man in the name of righteousness, you will receive a righteous reward." There's the principle. Who wants the reward? Yes. Who wants to really understand and go beyond the understanding that has been released in the season? We all want that. But the key is, how do you position yourself? Are you like the five talent man that positions himself to receive and to do more with what he had? Or the two talent man? But let's look at this one very quickly. The result is this. For those that are faithful, okay, I speak on two levels. There are those that are faithful and there's those that want to be faithful. I don't want to say are not faithful, but they want to be faithful. Two levels of people that are faithful and the others that want to be faithful. Those that are faithful will receive these words, "Well done." Well done. God is always looking for a result. Well done. Something has got to be done for it to be well. How is your doing in receiving the grace of God? Well done. He qualifies that more and he says, "You good and faithful servant." Good and faithful servant. The word good is the word tob. Good is not just something that we get, but good is who God is. So he says, "You good." In other words, you are locked into the things of God. Good and faithful servant. He says that twice to the one with five talents, and he says that to the one with two talents. Then we see the response to the one with the one talent. And what does he say? He says, "You wicked and slothful, lazy servant." And this is where I'd like to bring us to a place of introspection. Are you lethargic in receiving the grace of God? Are you in application deficit to the things and the principles that God has spoken to us? Randolph has been teaching lovely principles on giving and on have you been giving? If you haven't, you know that you're in deficit. You are in deficit. You got to make up for it. I remember listening to the New Year's message just the other day again that Randolph released. And he said, "We got 12 months in a year." That's great revelation. 12 months in a year. He says, "Do one act of random kindness just one act of random kindness a month for 12 months. And I'm listening to this, and I realized that I'm in deficit. I need to backtrack and say when I need to get so that I can be compliant. So that the word that he released, all that he says, comes to me fully. Otherwise, we miss it. You wicked and slothful. Are you lazy, lethargic, apathetic with the principles of God? Are you one that walks into things, you receive it, but you disregard it? You disregard it. I want to encourage you, and I challenge you this morning as we in the house of the Lord. It's time for us to be more serious in receiving the grace of God. Much more serious. For some of us, we've been playing. It's another message. Let me just go to church just to show my face because I know they're gonna worry me and they're gonna phone me. Where were you? Where were you? Are things okay? Sometimes things are not okay even when you come here and you're sitting here, but you smile anyway because you don't want people to say, "Are you okay? Is there something wrong?" And you can't, we're so highly discerning in this house, we can discern you. We can analyze you spiritually. We got special equipment we got sonar equipment in the spirit, echolocation. We can find where your heart is beating. But we don't show our face simply because we just want to be seen. But we come into the presence to say, "God, let the word that is released, let it become alive in me." When we say immediately, let it become alive in me. Let me not forget. Let it not be a James chapter 1 verse 20, like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. The minute he turns away and looks away, he forgets what his image looks like. But let it be that when we go out there, that the word of God, that's why the psalmist David said, he says in Psalm 119 verse 11, he says that the word of God must be hidden. He says, "Thy word have I hidden within my heart, that I would not sin against thee." Why would David want to hide the word in his heart? Simply because, you know, when you're faced with your temptation, when you're faced with your difficulty, when the challenges, when the things that are of life pressing in on you, sometimes you don't have the physical scriptures to turn to. When the devil is about to tempt you, when you're facing high temptation, you're now saying, "What is that scripture again now? I wish I had my Bible here." No. But if the word of God is within you, the word of God is within you. When you see that temptation, where you're seduced, and you're saying, "I just wish I had that scripture that showed me, that said, where Satan, get thee behind me." But if David said, "Thy word that I have hidden where? In my heart." In other words, the word heart, cardia, the Greek word, where we get cardiovascular from, cardia simply means to be in same pulse, same beat, one with another, same heart. I can be in this with the same heart with the word of God. When the devil comes in, when he comes in like a flood, he's not coming in like a little shower or like a little gooty weather that we were going to be experienced, that we experience. He's coming in like a flood that brings in not just an overwhelming of water to drown you, but bring in debris that has been washed from wherever that causes much harm. When he comes in to do that in your life, how do you position yourself? It says, God will raise up a standard, a posture to receive. So you should be saying, "Flood, come." Be careful your capacity. So you should be saying, "Flood, come." Because you've got a standard inside of you that can raise up against that which is going to be against you. The principle here is with this young man, this one talent, is not so much that he misused the money. He never misused it, or this talent. It's simply this, that he just never understood it. He never understood it. And I want to share this, and this is so profound. It says, everyone who has will be given more. And everyone who has not, even that which you have, will be taken away. Does that sound like a loving God? Now understand, we're understanding this portion of scripture symbolically. The kingdom of God, who is the kingdom? Where does the kingdom live? The kingdom is who God is, resides in you. So the picture is giving us an illustration. It is like, and it gives us an illustration. So the Lord or the servant that is distributing the talents is God himself, giving to you and I. We're understanding this symbolically, giving to you and I. So when he is giving, and it says this here, it says, for those that have will get more. Now, which bracket do you want to be? Does anybody want to be more blessed? Does anybody want to be more blessed? So if you say yes, it means that you've got some form of blessing already. Do you want more than what you're getting now? Materially, would you like double than what you're getting now? Okay, for those that are not sure, yes, Sean, I would like double what I'm getting now. But what about spiritually? Would you like double of what you're getting right now? Yes. Would you like to understand the mysteries of God, the heartbeat? You know, when to turn left and when to turn right? When to say the right words? When to look into the foe of your enemy and show them love, and all they see is they want to bring you down, but they got nothing on you. All they just see is love. The scripture says it's like you're piling hot coals on the head of love. The more they hate you, the more you love them. Don't you want to receive much more of that? Greater revelation. When you receive the word, when you read the word, God just blows up things for you. Your answers are there. Does anyone ever looking for an answer? Your answer's in the scriptures. It's always been there. It's just at the level of how you've been receiving it. So that which has been given, you'll be given more. But here's the sobering and the daunting thought. For you that has got nothing. Now understand, nothing, not so much physically. Not so much physically. Yes, physically, that talent will be taken away from you. But if you don't receive of God, if you don't understand anything right now, even that you don't understand will be taken away. Woe be it to us that all that has been released into us as a household be removed and be given to somebody else. That is why it's strategic. And I think, Tharmo says, that this church is going to be a gate to the city. We've got to position and posture ourselves right. Lest that gate, that portal, be taken somewhere else. And the regard would be, you wicked and slothful, lazy, lazy. By now, we're not encouraging you to read the Bible. We should be encouraging you to study it more. The assumption is you're reading. You want more grace. You want to receive. You want your wineskin to contain this revelation. You don't want it to burst. You need to be one that is alive and active. You're reading your word. I trust you're reading your word. You're studying. I say this with full conviction, and I pray the Holy Spirit convicts you. If you want the blessing and the favor of all that the results that all God would have for you, the exceedingly and the abundantly, you've got to play your part. You've got to get into the close proximity. God has given you the talents, both in skill and in weight and in grace. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? You know, one of the best ways to administer grace is to share grace. Did you know that? How do we know that? According to the scripture, the Bible says, because of the one who is inactive, who is lazy, that grace that is taken away is now given. It's not just taken away. You know, if the scripture just said, because you're unfaithful and because you're lazy, it'll just be taken away. But understand, it's, you know, this is taken away and given to somebody else. given to somebody else. Grace is never to be kept for yourself, but to be given. Can you give grace? Yes. Impart grace? Yes, you can, through the Word of God. Don't position yourself like Gehazi, who only thought of himself and took garments and things for himself. Don't position your heart just for material. We're not in this thing called sonship or Christianity just for blessings, just to go to heaven. I think that is unfair. You know, if you're here just for the blessing, well, you're going to be here for a long time. Because until your heart is right, then only the blessings come through. Don't be like Gehazi. Don't be like Korah. Remember Korah in the wilderness that rose up against Moses and said, Moses, who said you are the only one that can prophesy and speak and lead the children of Israel? Does not God also speak to us? Yes, validly, to some degree, he was right. God also spoke to everybody else, but God chose Moses. Look at the resultant effect of all those that inaccurately aligned themselves. That inaccurate, Gehazi, what was his result? Leprosy till his death. When we look at Achan, crossed over. Achan, you know, Achan was one of those that never died in the wilderness. He was privileged to step into the promised land. And because he inaccurately aligned himself and he positioned himself for personal gain, what happened to him and his family and everything he earned was stoned and burnt. Inaccurate reception will result to grace being removed from you. But what about accurate reception? The woman with the issue of blood. If I can only but touch. She said, I'm going to position myself. When he comes by, I'm going to go and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Put myself in a position that I can receive grace. Zacchaeus climbed up the tree, not just for greater view, for a better balcony view, because he caught the attention of Christ. And he said, today, Zacchaeus, he says, come down, come down. You know, when you read that word, when it says come down, he's not just literally speaking come down from the tree. He says, come down from the high, high, lofty position of who you are. Come and die to self. Come down. He says, you've been swindling people. You've got this false view, grandeur of yourself. You think that because, have you noticed that a lot of short people try to compensate in many ways? Have you noticed that? They wear the highest of heels if it's a lady. If it's a short guy and in the group of, he talks the loudest. Not so. We always try to compensate. And Jesus says, come down for today. Come down from that high horse. Put aside your grandeur. Put aside your ambitions. Just put aside your dreams and just come down. He says, for today. And I love this word. Today. Immediately. When is favor and blessing coming? Today. Today is your day for blessing. Receive it today. Even it might seem abstract for you. It might seem superficial. It might seem insurmountable. Receive it today. Receive your blessing. Who's got a prayer request right now? Where's your prayer request? You know you got something pending within your spirit, something that you're desiring, something that you want to do? That thing can be done today. Turn it on. It can be done today. This is not a pie in the sky. This is not just a message that we're saying just to inspire you. It can be done today. The things that you have purposed, that God has purposed in your heart, things that you have placed in your life that you desire to do, they can happen, Marian. They can. Oh, but Sean, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. You know what it is to get, you know, I always say to youth in an illustration with Joash, and when he, because he does long jump, and I always say to him, I said, Joash, what's going to take you to break the world record? Is it going to be the series of long jumpers that we've been seeing now, eating what they eat, sleeping how they sleep, behaving how they behave, training how they train? No, it'll only take you to their level. But you want to go beyond. What's going to be the factor, that desire that's with inside of you to be the world champion, to have your name etched in history for years to come, not just for the sake of notoriety, but for a purpose when you're placed on the podium that you are the world champion, then you now dispatch grace. What's going to be the difference? It's when there is grace that is inside of, when you position yourself and say it, I will enter in. I will be. Today is your day. Or somebody needs to catch that in their spirit. Today is your day. For one, physically, you are here. Spiritually, I pray you're here. Because you're going to receive it. You are the five talent company. Hallelujah. You are a five talent company. One that is postured. One that is positioned to receive all the things of God. All the things of God. So very quickly and in closing, I'm going to wrap up very quickly. How do we receive? How do we have a posture or a mode of reception? An accurate reception. First thing is stand in a place that God is telling you to stand. Stand in a place that God is telling you to stand. Now this year, two portions of scripture. Moses standing at the Red Sea. The Bible says, God said to him, Moses, stand and see the salvation. Stand and see the salvation. Where are you standing? You're standing in the right place. Your Red Sea is before you. The Egyptians are coming with their chariots behind you. Between your left and your right, one is a desert. Others is a hill country. No place to run. You know, they talk about being caught between a rock and a hard place. This is exactly it. The sea is in front of you. Egyptians behind you. Desert on one side. Mountains on the other side. There's almost 2 million plus people, this company. Where do you run to? And what does God say? No, it doesn't say run into the water. He just says stand. 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 Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, from verse 10 onwards, it says, when all is done, just stand. It says, stand. It says, withstand. Stand against. After you've withstood, after you stood against, it says, now just stand. Now just stand. I want to encourage you. How do we posture ourselves? Receive with expectation. Receive that this word is going to work for you. You know, expectation means it's a word that is guaranteed. It brings an excitement. Believe that what you're saying is going to happen. Receive with a posture of belief. Say, God, I know, yes, it might sound impossible, but God specializes in the possible and the impossible. God specializes. Ask Jehoshaphat in 1 Kings, in 1 Chronicles. The Bible says, And the Bible says he stood and the salvation of God came and they had victory over their enemies. Jehoshaphat stood and said, God, we are going to fight this army that is greater than us. How do we overcome? God said, send your praise and worship. Send Noel and Jeremy and Joash and all the music team, Joe Julien. Send them in front. Now, if you've got a mountain, if you've got a difficulty, please, I'm just giving you the names of people to go and see. Okay? Send those. And King Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, I'm sure he thought, imagine him going, he's a king, he's a commander, he goes to his army that are militant men of military might, and he says to them, okay, guys, this is how we're going to fight. Send the praise and worship team in front with the tambourines. What do you think they said to him? I think there's a spanner missing from the set. A couple of branches missing from the tree. They said, a couple of keys missing on the keyboard. They said simply, this is impossible. And they sent forth their praise. Imagine sending forth your praise and worship team, singing. The impossible is so possible with God, and it's locked up in you. It can be done. Posture yourself. Posture yourself with gratitude. Receive with gratitude. Be grateful. Be grateful. And there's many scriptures under that as well because of time. Receive with obedience and compliance. Just obey. Just obey. Yes, I don't understand certain things. Just obey. Tithing, first fruits, offering, almsgiving. Just obey. If the Bible says tithe, yeah, but you know, I'm trying to figure out how does this work. I'm trying to just obey. Just do it. And then realize, then later on, when you see the result, you will get the understanding of what you just did. Just obey. Be compliant. Be compliant. Don't fight it. Don't, you know, many of us are trying to get too, sometimes we get too philosophical, too theoretical. We want to understand the ebbs and flows of every little thing. Just obey. Just obey. Receive with a hunger and a thirst for God. Receive. Whenever you hear the grace, come hungry, saying, God, I'm going to receive this. I want to chew on this. I'm going to drink on this. This is going to edify me. This is going to build me up. Church, I want to encourage us this morning. Push yourself for a desire to want to know and a passion to want to know God more. And you will see the resultant. Posture yourself in that way. You know, when you're hungry physically, when you're famished, when you haven't eaten the whole day, you know, like for some of us that fast. Not everyone fasts, but you know when you fast and you fast for the whole day and you break your fast maybe in the evening, you know you're famished, you're hungry. You know, even if we put no matter what food in front of you, that you're just going to swallow it up and it will taste like chicken. Not so. Why? Because your position is not so much for taste. Your position is to fill the need. When you have a need in your life, the position is not just to come in on a Sunday morning to get more revelation, to hear more inspiring words, but your position is simply this: God, I want to know you more. I want to sup with you more. Receive with joy. Receive with joy. Even when a hard word comes to you, when the word of God is saying, don't be slothful, don't be wicked, don't be lazy, put a smile on your face. Receive with joy. Who for the joy that was set before him? Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 2. It says, who for the joy that was set before the cross? Understand this yet. You know, Jesus went to the cross joyfully. Was the cross a joyful experience? Did he not say, remove this from me, I can't handle this? It is a difficult experience, but joy is not smiling and just being happy. Joy is an internal position. It's an internal characteristic that we need to adopt. So when you receive with joy, with gladness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Position yourself to obtain the things of God. Let it not be said of us that we came, we heard, and we left, but we received nothing. And that which we did receive, I'm saying, God, increase my capacity, increase our capacity to receive more. So which mode are you in? 5 talent, 2, or 1? How you receive those talents. When the master gave, immediately the one took his money. He already received, he had an understanding of what he was going to do, and he went and did it. The same thing with the 2 talents. The one with the 1 talent hid it away. You know, there's so much grace that is locked up inside of you that is hidden. It's time for it to come out. Otherwise, God is going to take it away from you and give it to someone else. Can we stand this morning? Can we stand? Father, we're so blessed and privileged and honored to be in an environment where grace is given freely, where grace is released in such great quantities at high depths of understanding. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're such a, and we count it a privilege with humility, we count it a privilege that we are poised, that we are positioned and postured to receive all that you have for us. Thank you for the great mandates and words that you have spoken over us as individuals and even as a house, that we will be a gate, a portal, Father, for nations to come through, for us to facilitate your purposes here in this city and also, Father, in this nation and nations outside of us. Thank you for that mandate. And Lord, we don't take it for granted. We don't take it frivolously. But Lord, we also apply ourselves and we say, help us, Father, to be ones that can receive all that your word says, even the consequences that will come with it. That, Father, we would not become lazy. We will not become slothful. We will not become ones that are inactive in all that you have for us. But, Father, we say we stand here today with hearts of humility, with hearts of repentance. And we say, Father, we want to understand more. Increase our capacity. Increase our capacity. Let our capacity in you to understand the things, Father, be increased so that, Lord, we can not only receive the result of what you have for us, but, Father, we can even go beyond and dispense greater grace to those around us. So, Father, I pray prophetically over everyone that is here. Every dream, every desire, every obstacle, every challenge that might be in their fall, I pray, O God, as we receive your word and from a heart, a posture of reception, we will overcome. Father, we will gain, we will receive all that you have for us. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone that is here, every heart, every circumstance, and every situation. Help us, Father, to realign ourselves. Our mode has been wrong. Help us to recorrect certain things so that, Father, we are in reception mode. For that which you're about to release is great. That which you are releasing is so awesome, is insurmountable. It's heaviness. It's weighty. Father, help us to carry that which you have for us. So, Lord, I pray we commit ourselves before you again. We submit ourselves before you. And we say, Lord, continue to speak and pour out grace upon grace. Grace on top of grace upon us, I pray. Bless each and every one that is here, O God. Bless those that have heard. Bless at whatever level, O God. Let this place be a five-talent company. A place, O God, that we will immediately take this word, apply it, and see the resultant blessing that comes from it. Let this be our preserve in this house, I pray. So we honor you, we bless you, Father. We are mindful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.